The reading this morning is taken from John chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 6. And just to set the scene, this is Jesus praying to his Father for his disciples. I have revealed to you, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Amen.
There's some readings that you read or hear read and you think, oh blimey, there's a lot of long words in that. And if I started to unpack the whole reading, well, you've nothing else to do for the rest of the week, have you? But as we've already said, we're talking about names, and it seems appropriate, particularly with Lola's baptism, and I'll come back to that again. But what's in a name? I mean, names are things we don't have a lot of say in. They're chosen by our parents. Sometimes it's because of what they mean. It might be a family tradition. It might be a wealthy relative you're trying to get on the good side of, so that when they eventually die, they'll leave you something in the will. Oh, I suspect most of the time it's probably just because you actually like the name. And of course, as you get older, there's an option to either change it or shorten it, or even sometimes lengthen it if we don't particularly like it. And to prove there's nothing new, it's exactly the same in the Bible. Some people were named because of the characteristics. Esau was a hairy baby. And what does Esau mean? Hairy. Some are named quite fortuitously. The prophet Isaiah means God saves. And presumably others are just because the parents like them. Deborah, for example, means bee. Some people did change the names, and that was often after a significant event. Simon became Peter, Saul became Paul. And there's probably a whole other sermon in there, but that's for another day. But there is one exception. When Mary and Joseph were told by an angel on separate occasions that Mary was going to have a special baby, that is going to be God's son, they didn't get the choice of naming him. They were told that he would be called Jesus. And Jesus means the Lord saves. But it's more than that. It's a name that is more than a name. A name that is fulfillment of a promise made by God. It's not a prediction, but a promise and a hope. That through Jesus, God will save his people. That everyone, everywhere and everyone who believes in his name will be saved. And it's not just about the name of Jesus, but it's more about the name of God. And names often reveal something about the nature of people. I don't know how you came up with the name of Lola. Just because you liked it? Yeah? No, oh, good. Because when you look at it, do you know the meaning? Unfortunately, well, it isn't the most auspicious one, but then it is, because it means full of sorrows. And now we hope and pray that that isn't true. But the thing is, she will have times of sorrows, but there's also going to be, hopefully, much happiness and joy. And the prophet Isaiah, yes, him again, called Jesus a man of sorrows because of the problems and sufferings he would face. But Jesus overcame them, died on the cross, yes, but raised him to true life and power and joy. So let's hope and pray that that's what Lola has. But names can reveal something about the nature of people. Can I have the first slide? No, not that one. The first picture. Right, come on, who's that? Yes, but what's Superman's alter ego? Clark Kent. Clark Kent, yeah. Now, come on, an apologist to anyone with the names like this, and I mean, say I'm talking in generalisations, but if he'd been called Cyril, would anyone have actually taken him seriously? You know, Cyril Kent doesn't have quite the same ring, does it? Okay, next one. Now then, who's that? Oh, we've got a Harry Potter, at least one Harry Potter fan. Phew! And if you've read the Harry Potter books or seen the films, you know, the Percy is the one who likes everything just so. Come on, he was always going to be with a name like Percy, wasn't he? You know, he wants all the rules and regulations obeyed. Next one. Okay, what's his real name? Marion Morrison, well done. Now, come on. You wouldn't have taken him seriously, would you? As a Western, you know, an all-American and Western hero, if he stuck to his name of Marion Morrison. And last one? Yeah, what's his first name? Reg Dwight. Oh, we've got some on the ball, people on the ball here. Yeah. Oh, come on, Reg Dwight isn't a pop star, is he? He's going to be a dustman. A refuse collector or something like that. Okay, thank you. So names can shape us and see how we actually think of people. And the name of God does that as well. It reveals more about his nature. But what is the name of God? Well, Rebecca's already talked about it. And in case you're wondering, it's not Harold. And you're thinking, where does Harold come from? Well, that's what it says in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Our Father in heaven, Harold be your name. Sorry, they don't get any... they don't get any better, I'm afraid. Well, they probably do get worse, actually. Thank you, William. But the name that Rebecca's already mentioned is Yahweh, which we say is Jehovah. And it's not just a name. It encompasses all who God was and is and will be. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he called himself I Am, who was and is to come. Because it's more than just God the Father. It's God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, something that we call the Trinity. And that's very mysterious. In a couple of Sundays' time, we're looking more at that. But in our Bible reading, Jesus says in verse 11, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. And it's more than just the name of the Father. Holy Father, it's the only time that Jesus uses that. And it makes the point that God isn't part of the world. He's not sat up on a cloud, just completely disinterested, thinking, well, I don't want to bother with that lot anymore. Because he sent his son to us. Because he loves us so much. And Holy Father, yes, might seem distant, but this is the same God, the same person that Jesus, and therefore us, can call Abba, and Abba is Daddy. This God in heaven we can call Daddy. And the Holy Spirit holds everything and everyone together. Because it's all held together by the nature of God, which is love. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. And as we've already said and sung, the name of God is protection for us. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, a place of security and refuge. It doesn't mean that nothing bad or nasty will happen to us, but a reassurance that nothing can separate us from God's love. But there's a challenge. If we believe and trust in God and the power of his name, we can claim all that goes with it. As it says in the second part of that verse, so that they may, Jesus says, so that they may be one as we are one. Fortunately, all of us are unique. There is no one else like me, William, and everyone will breathe a sigh of relief. But we all have a unique and individual relationship with God. Twins, brothers, husbands and wives, sisters, all have a different relationship. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all unique. They're all different, but they work together as one. As a different translation of the Bible puts it, they are one in heart and mind. So we are called to work together. Oh, how come you can never open a page when you need to? In a Peanuts cartoon, I remember Peanuts, Snoopy and all that, Lucy demanded that Linus change TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't. What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over, says Linus. These five fingers, says Lucy. Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together in a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Which channel do you want? Asks Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, why can't you guys get organised like that? I suspect we as a church are more often like Linus than Lucy. But working together is not an optional extra. It's part of what God calls us to be, which reflects the nature of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, unity, helping each other, working together with the same purpose. And the same applies to us. To know Christ and make him known. And it's not just about being here in church, but out there in the world as well. It's not just churchy things, depending on what job we do. Wherever we're called to work as a team, it's all important. It doesn't mean to say we have to put up with things just for the sake of unity or peace. There are times when we have to say this is wrong and have to speak out. But we should all work together. Because we can't do it alone. We've got the example of Jesus. He needed his Father. He needed the guidance of his Holy Spirit. And we need each other the straight way. Listening to God as well. I don't know what lies ahead for Lola, what the future holds, what or who she will grow up to be. But she has the love and support of her parents, godparents, family and friends. All different people, all working together to help her grow and fulfill her potential to be the person that God wants her to be. And as a church and Christians, we're called to do the same. We're called to work together, help each other, to become the people that God wants us to be, so that we can then go out and share that love with others. So I started with a question, what's in a name? And the answer is, if you're God, an awful lot.